Rosie?
Yes.
Well, we were the little strip next to it on this side. It was its own little guest house.
So what is now the Port Erin Royal, just next to that?
Yes, it's the last one. It's the last house next to the White House.
Is it still called
Snowfowl? No, it's called Royal or something. The Princess.
The sandy-coloured one?
It's called Princess, isn't it?
So you see, we were always...
See the White Hotel?
We always have to go down these steps when we come into Port Erin. These were our steps here. I used to just fly down, and Mother used to sit there with baby on the steps. And she knew this was our sort of base. And we were always in the rock pools. Always in the caves. I wrote that in my diary.
Yes,
lovely caves.
And there's Bradder Glen. You can see the sea view from here where they had the mothers and children. But it's private flats now.
And there were the dormy houses. They've been pulled down.
And the little bungalows
They were
gone.
For the men in the peacetime camps. And that's where those two fellows who were there... They were there as little boys of 10. And he'd forgotten, because he hadn't been back for 50 years. So we went round there with his wife and showed him everything where he would have lived and his memories. And we think we took over
from
his room.
Because
he left in August and we went in September.
So which is the sea view that the...
You see that one with the flat roof in Bradder Glen there? It's cream. Mm. But it had balconies in those. Now it's just turned into flats. And
there were individual rooms with a door onto the balconies.
Near to the Bradder Glen... The hotel there, just to the left of that.
And then the Bradder Private is behind that where we stayed for...
Oh, we used to love running down the Bradder Glen path. We used to run through the archway and run. You know, it's all downhill. And that lovely fuchsia tunnel over the little bridge. It's all been hacked down.
And you see, the little house had a straw roof in those days.
What is now the cafe?
And diamond-leaded panes. And that was our little lounge. And then the dining
room
was built
on. There were loads
of
books there too.
Oh, I read all the books.
Oh, we just read our way through the camp. And they rang the big bell for meals. The big bell's still there outside the cafe.
And behind the little house were the servants' quarters where we had our
first
little house.
Oh, little cosy nook, it's still there. It was old Mr. Shimmin and he lived next with the boiler house. Oh, that lovely smell of smoke and charcoal and... Oh, it was like Hansel and Gretel, wasn't it?
And then we could walk on.
Deal. He's written a great report for Yvonne.
So you could actually go into the biological centre?
We went there as a class. We used to look at the giant squids and octopuses. Coelenterata. We learned all the animal, whatever, you know, the vermis verma. We learned it all in Latin and German. Vermis verma, coelenterata, you know, the forms of life. The reptiles. And, we used to quote all these things. And our school was the very last house there, you see. It's sort of pinky. Can you see at the back?
Yes.
On that top row. I feel
so that's above the cafe that you can see.
No, that's
well, sort of. There is a cafe below, isn't there?
Yes.
Like a little snack bar now, isn't it? But you see, Mona's been telling us all the stories of the inhabitants. Of course, they were grown up. Some stories she said she couldn't tell anyone because they really knew all about what was going on. You know, the Maxmen and the girls. And my good little teacher, she was apparently quite a rake.
Everybody's mentioned her, haven't they?
And she was a lovely girl. Well, I had love letters to the fellow who's widowed.
Yes,
and I felt so happy.
Right, so the school then is...
We went in through this door. That door, and then in there were some little rooms at the back. And I was only in one room at the back because I was in one class. I don't know where you were, Anita, where you were.
I think we had the corner one overlooking the bay.
Because we were downstairs in the back. We didn't go upstairs.
Is this where I was a prefect with Rita?
Possibly, I don't know. Yes, it must be.
Because we had a class between us. It was three little boys. And Rita's just said it on the phone. She sent a whole lot. You know, it hasn't been used much. She wrote all about the Jewish children. And we used to just go in, she, when it was her turn and mine, and just hit these boys with a ruler. They just used to chase us round and round. That was being prefect. Oh, they were naughty little boys. And Rita just said it on the phone. Do you remember how we just used to go round with a ruler? Well, I mean...
where.
You say there was no barbed wire at first. So they
first
put
there was nothing,
later.
And then they started
there was
putting
nothing.
It up, because when we first came, there were just the two villages.
We could go anywhere across the Mary Port Erin, anywhere.
Where was the wire when they put it up then?
It was Gansey, do you know Port St Mary? Where Gansey Cottage
and it
is,
went up
there's
here.
A residential home then. I went round it into the sea. Here it was at the back of school, chopping off the headland.
Yes.
Up here.
Just sort of beyond the Darrow.
There it finally came, because that Mr Levy, Herbert Levy, who was here on Saturday, it came where her husband's ashes are scattered.
Oh, yes.
This phone is quite sad. He went round, there were two paths in Bradder Glen, one on a bridge and the lower one, and the barbed wire came right through Bradder Head.
That's
you could
right,
just
that's
go
the
and
mix
just stand
camp,
and stick our noses
at
through.
At first we didn't have any, we could go to Bradder Head and up the tower whenever we wanted.
Go anywhere.
But in the mixed camp they got it sort of a bit more restrained.
I remember we had a picnic, Rita and Hannelore, and we must have got some red pop, which I'd never had because we never grew up with things like that. You know, it was either freshly squeezed orange or milk or nothing. Well, we must have had a picnic at the foot of Milner's Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Rita, I remember this red pop. Oh, we used to love this walk. It's still our favourite walk because it goes right back to the very first walks.
How did you feel when they started putting the barbed wire up?
Well, didn't think anything.
At first, I think we were just going somewhere and he said, you can't go up there. We were a cheeky, why not? And he said, well, he said,
well, that's why you said, are you into
and
Nice?
And he said, are you into Nice? So we said,
we
no,
is you, Rosie.
Because we weren't. We were still kids and not officially into Nice. And then he said, are you German? So I let Anita answer. She said, no, because she wasn't German.
I wasn't, that was British born.
And then he said,
I don't remember that.
Yes, and we were so cross and we kept wanting. And he said, no, you can't go up there. And so that was. Oh, I think we had so much freedom, I don't think
we cared. We had our home, our family, our
beach,
hobbies, our books. We only wanted to book, paint and read.
I mean, when you're kids, you can't go everywhere anyway. You have to be
at a certain
time.
We were just as restricted at home. How did your mother feel?
Loved it. She loved it.
Father
she
loved
had
it.
No house to look after.
There was never any bitterness. It was just
not in our family.
Well, she only met nice people, and she was a very peace-loving woman. She would. This is where the vicarage was, the Truggan,
round the
or the next bit, because Joan Johnson, the next very big house, it's now a guest house because Joan Johnson's father was Methodist minister, lovely man, and he has folders. Well, he had folders and files of all the Antony's stories, harrowing. Some wouldn't put their names to them because they'd fled from Germany, you see. They wrote books full of their memories. Sad, because when the father died, Joan found them all. And that was, which is the Truggan? No, that's the Truggan.
Yes.
And she said, I remember looking out of the window and she could see all the internees walking in a file.
One of these, isn't it, the vicarage?
It's now a guest
first.
House.
Yes.
And she wants to stay in it next time. She could see all the internees filing into the camp. Oh, she said, I would have seen you when you were little. And he was a lovely man. You see, we could go into the Methodist Church, the Anglican.
See, all this had internees in, all right down to the
we had our own vicar. He's the one we still write to and visit and live with. And we were well seen to for church.
We were safe. Hull was very badly bombed. We never heard a bomb drop in our lives.
Well, we had been evacuated to Britain, so we sort of knew what, you know, what the war could do with it.
Separate.
She had to leave home. My brother had to leave grammar school. He was only 16. He was plucked out.
Did your father get over to the Isle of Man? Was he then transferred to the married camp?
Yes.
First
was
he was
year
in
after.
Sefton camp.
First they were in Hythe.
First he was in Hythe, and then Sefton.
Then Sefton Douglas.
We didn't
then
hear straight away where
no,
he was.
No, you didn't always know. And then you got cards.
So
all this we could go shopping in all these, and in the married camp
we were on the left. We didn't. This was just our shopping street.
And then when the married camp, when they closed off the prom, we came in here twice a week to go shopping.
When did they close off the prom?
It was
when
May,
the married
beginning
camp
of May, because the married camp started on May the 8th officially. That's in my diary.
So this was all open when we were in the women's camp.
But in the women's camp, you could walk from here right down to the point, right down to Berwick.
We didn't really. We were always on the beach. You see, we were in the boarding houses on the top of the bay. We never really came here, did we?
No.
Just to shop.
Just a little bit of shopping.
The chemist we used to come to. There were two chemists here then. And the churches. I always remember the church with all the daisies, that church and this church. We went to both churches.
They had special dues here at Easter. And
that was our school from the back, because that was our playground.
This is a kindergarten coming up. There's Cowley's Cafe.
These two shops here now. This first shop with the huge windows on the right.
This beach shop.
The beach
this one
was
our school. We had the classrooms upstairs and the classrooms downstairs. We always used to hide in the windows. The teachers knew we were hiding. Ridiculous. And we did bookkeeping. The hydraulic press. These Jewish folk couldn't even speak English, but they wouldn't speak German. So we learnt about the hydraulic press. I didn't know what or how big a hydraulic press was. It was as big as that or as big as that. Faust, book two.
Book two.
Very mature stuff for little kids who'd never learnt German
and not
literature.
Even, yes, I mean, our German was
bookkeeping,
sort of quite childish.
Shorthand. I was 12. Everything under the sun that anybody could teach.
What age group was in this school?
All ages.
Probably all ages.
And then the adolescent class in the women's camp was over the post office. That big room was the room I first went in.
Did
there.
Did you have a little fire in there?
I was a little fire. And I did my matriculation exam in that room. On
just
the
you
corner.
And what was the...
The first floor, the second floor.
The first floor. Mm. And there was another fella with me did it. And there were just the two of us. And
he was nervous and had to smoke,
he? Wanted to smoke. And she said, we'd better ask the other candidate. That was me. So she said, do you mind if he smokes? And I said, yes, I do. I don't like smoke. And it, you know, it still haunts me.
Because he failed.
I was so horribly
Rosie
mean.
Got
he
through.
Failed. And I was all smug and nasty and... I didn't like him. He wasn't handsome and like Errol Flynn.
We were Errol Flynn, Tara
Parr, you know, and he... So he was...
David Niven.
We had a woman sitting there invigilating, knitting, and one day we had a puppy in, and it was real free and easy. The exam was lovely, and I passed. Yes, I hadn't been at school for 2 years.
No, you'd missed 2 years of high school. The school, the two windows next to it, we used to have our confirmation classes in there. And that had a big built-in cupboard. This is the pastor we stay with in Germany. He had a suit made out of...
Army blanket,
a one piece. And his wife was our biology teacher. And every time he'd come up the stairs, that was our school.
That's the kindergarten in there.
That
this was
church.
The synagogue.
That was the synagogue. This was the doctors and...
This was the 18B house.
That's the Mosley house.
This was the dentist, the doctor, and downstairs we had a big room for... We had church services and lectures. Remember, Essex used to come and sing to us.
Oh, Mr. Essex, he was the...
This was the...
Special
of,
policeman. And he used to sing at concerts. He was a lovely, had a lovely voice.
But he was a real...
The new men of England.
He used to sing the flower song. Do you remember the...
Oh, you mean the...
Yes, and then downstairs was a big room. We had a
in
church.
Forrester House now.
It's Forrest. It was Newland then.
I had laughing gas there, and I've
and there was the dentist there,
forgotten that.
And the doctor's surgery, and I don't know what else was in there.
Then that was. That was not the.
This was the cliff, and then the one next to it, the primrose, was the
Italians.
Italian. House.
Oh, there was a handsome fella there, the Dr. Borghese.
Dr. Borghese.
The next one, which
yes.
is Clifton Court now.
Yes,
that's
well,
it.
Next to that, it was called Primrose.
And the one with the modern sliding glass doors was ours. That was Blair Athol.
That was Blair Athol. And next to it
Fourth
was the office.
Along.
The yellow one was the camp office. It had a notice board outside. And then there was a gap, and they filled in the gap. Can you see it has an extra floor? It's got five floors. They've only just filled that in the last 3 years.
Just a big
that
gap.
Was a gap all out. Time here, and they've filled in the gap at the end
yes.
with five floors. They put squash in an extra floor. You can see.
Which was house 18B that you
this
one,
the
first
one.
No, I don't remember anything about the Mosley Group. At all.
I don't remember
anything.
I had that little boy in the kindergarten.
Don't you remember anything political? And one of the houses was the Catholic Church. Is that still Dublin House?
I think they used Dublin House for the Catholic Church. It still is. And then the Balaquini was
that
all
was all
Jews.
Jewish. They had their own cooking,
their
and that's where my friend was. And that's where those two fellows on Saturday, the ones in the car, they wanted to go and look at. He was room 218 and Rita was room 118, because we've got photos of me shouting up to her room about 5 years ago, just pretending that I was a kid, saying, hi, Rita. And the allotment field was at the back. Father always dug and had gardens and allotments wherever he went. They're all houses there now.
And there was a fella there collapsed on his allotment.
And Rosie saw him dead, Shelley told me yesterday. I'm glad you hadn't told me sooner. 50 years later.
Off Because they were buried in the churchyard there.
So can I just get clear where the married camp was?
This. All this. From the kindergarten was, and the synagogue was still in. And
the school was in. And
the synagogue was the town hall now.
Yes.
Yes.
The barbed wire came just across there where the post office is. Across the road. And there was a hut. Special constable.
With special constables. And then twice a week you could walk through and do your shopping.
Then the barbed wire would have come down
across Happy Valley.
In front of that house.
It went, because I know in the kindergarten, sometimes the ball would go over the barbed wire.
Yes,
we have to wait for someone to come
the back
and chuck
of this
it
cafe, it's a lovely garden. You can see it on this, if you continue this little path, you go past our playground and kindergarten, and the barbed wire was there.
Yes.
It was at the back of our garden.
Round
if you walk up there, well, the next layer. No, this layer.
It's a private house.
It's a lovely
now
little garden, and it has sort of
that
raised flower
beds.
Oh, it had red roses. We used to look, well, we just sat and talked at playtime. And those were all our classroom windows.
And then the big hotel at the end, that was in the barbed
wire. Yes,
camp
that was.
Well.
And the barbed wire came.
Round
Little Gansey
Cottage,
which is still for sale. £120,000. We looked at that all our lives. And that's now a residential home, the very big one. And the barbed wire came straight through there and into the rocks. Because about 5 years ago, I said, I'm going to find out where the barbed wire was. And when it was low tide, I grovelled around. I knew where it was. We used to sit there day in, day out by the barbed wire, by the rock pools and those little shells. And I got a sort of a socket and a great big screw. Like, it's a bit like a pestle and mortar, isn't
yes
it? I have that at home, just where the barbed wire finished.
So, which one of these houses?
There were not internees in those.
Only in the last ones there were. But
yeah,
not at these, but at the end there's a couple of boarding houses, the taller ones, within our
own
people's home. They still had internees, and then the wire went down
the barbed wire
over
went
the
past
rocks
those
and into the
little
sea
houses there, and all along the back, and halfway through our allotment field.
Yes.
Because we used to wave to people in freedom on the other side of the allotment field,
yes,
didn't
we? Yes, we used to sit there on Sundays and watch
and,
the amongst people
and
go
by. And this lane at the back, it's a lovely lane, and the Italians used to play bowls every night with their little blackberries. That's the bowling alley, the back lane. We used to hear them and see them from, because we had the back bedroom
yes
there.
Yes, you could hear them shouting.
That was our bedroom, the big front one in the house next to the yellowish one. Bottom dining room, next one lounge, where we had to be quiet. Next one was family room when father came, and brother had a back bedroom and we had a back bedroom.
Had a back bedroom.
How often did father come?
Well, he lived here
in
then.
The mixed camp.
Oh, we used to have meetings once
a
month.
We had meetings in the Balaquini.
The Balaquini was the meetings. The men would come
in
along here in a big cordon.
We'd all be waiting there for them. And then
they'd come on the train, wouldn't
yes,
they? So they'd have to walk up from the
Douglas
station. Well, we must have come from
and
Port Erin to meet them, Rosie.
Yes, we did. And then occasionally we had meetings in Douglas in the Villa Marina.
That's where we had the first meetings,
we
didn't
we? From
on the train.
Port Erin to the Villa Marina to meet the men. It's a huge ballroom, you know, and there are millions milling around. Or they'd come here to the Balaquini.
Well, and I used to go to school on the train at one time. They can't have started a school in Port St. Mary.
The Port St. Mary school didn't start for a long time. In
because
the
we used to go to school. I mean, when you think it would take 10 hours to walk to the station and about 4 minutes on the train. I used to love going to school on the train.
I went to the Port Erin school.
Yes.
There was no school in the mixed camp.
Then you went to some handicraft somewhere here,
oh,
didn't
there was
you?
A handicraft in one of these houses.
Because Rosie's got a bag of artefacts. I don't know if you've
brought
them.
I haven't made any of those.
We've got all sorts of things we made, you know, with any bits and pieces,
and
cardboard and bits of material.
We had this handicraft class I went to and we made some nice things.
And
nice.
PT was down on the beach here. He was an ex. Or was that in Port Erin? He must have
no,
been
I think
here.
You had him here.
He was
school.
An army, German army instructor, so we had real rough, tough PT
and he tried
on
to
the beach.
Teach you to swim and failed.
What was that called? Faustball. Yeah. It was all rough stuff. We used to play Faustball. And then he, I think, did gardening with us.
Oh, more than likely.
Because there was a bit of triangle. I think it's where the dolphin houses are
yes
now. Those little modern ones at the end. And Boys Town was showing at the cinema. We were always at the cinema.
We
saw
cinema
every film.
Two or three times a week.
And Rosie was off to see Boys Town with Spencer Tracy. And I was longing to see it. It was Freddie Bartholomew and Mickey Rooney. And this instructor
I don't know whether he did woodwork with us as well or not. He was a rough man. He was army instructor. Oh, no, we had to double dig that rough grass. Why?
Did he put any...
We were going to put potatoes in. And, oh, I was... I probably went into a huff because I was off when I was little. I would just huff. Probably didn't last long. And there we were, double digging this rough grass. And she was...
Did you ever see Byers Town?
I think I might have seen it on television sometime. Was that here, little swimming, little fishing?
Where was the cinema? Was that in Port Erin?
Yes.
In Port Erin, it's a walk there.
We saw about two films.
And when we were in the mixed camp, you still had your cinema visit once a week. And we also had silent films, old ones. In there, what's the kindergarten?
That's
the big
hall. Essex sang.
Yes, and we used to have concerts and dances and all sorts of things there.
Epidioscopes and things,
yes,
weren't they?
But they showed the old-fashioned films, you know, the old silent films.
Oh, with
writing. And we had a pianist. What was he called, the pianist? What's and he always used to play, you know, the way they used to with the silent films, play a
Magic lantern shows.
We saw.
Well, we put on things. We used to do Shakespeare down on the brows here.
You did your Shakespeare in the kindergarten.
And then we did... we gave the Pyramus and Thisbe bits, you know, Midsummer Nights, yes. The play within a play... I was Thisbe and Rita, my Jewish friend, funny little fat girl, wasn't she, with curly hair and big specs, she was Pyramus. And she had to lie down and I would say, these lily lips, this cherry nose, and she'd giggle. And Hannelore was chinking the wall and that wall. We used to put on concerts.
We had fun, yeah.
And the Merry Widow was on, the grown-ups did the Merry Widow
in
Braddock Glen. We knew it all inside out.
Did you used to mix quite freely with people from different houses, with the Italian house and with the
Jews?
Oh, yes,
yes. Wherever you wanted, you could go.
We were all buddies.
There were no restrictions to go and visit if you had friends.
Oh, there were no restrictions, except curfew in the women's camp. And the men apparently didn't have curfew till midnight. Well, when it got dark here, like, we've got a notice of curfew at home.
I've got a curfew notice.
I think it's 4 o'clock. It's just like lighting up
time. In the winter, when it got dark earlier, got in.
So if it was dark at four, we were in at four.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want to be out anyway.
And there were, you know, when there were storms, all the storm doors were shut and we were not allowed out at all.
And if the air raid warning went, at first we used to go sit in Hislop's kitchen.
They used to light a storm lantern on halfway down the stairs.
And then later on we didn't even bother. And I've got this in my diary, one night... the air raid warning always went when Liverpool's won. One night, I've written in my diary, house shook several times, and then years later,
I got a book
on the bombing of Liverpool, and I checked it, May the 14th or 15th, whenever it was, and I checked this date with the bombing in Liverpool, and that was when Liverpool had the worst bombing ever. It went on non-stop,
so
and the ammunition blew up in the docks. And we felt this house here shake.
We used to see convoys, great convoys, passing for hours and hours there, didn't we?
Yes.
One ship after another, and you could sort of hear, you know, they were shot at. And that time we saw the plane come down, and
yes,
I wrote
plane
in
came
it,
down in that,
two found
in that
dead, poor
bay.
Souls.
And then they dragged the plane's remains onto the beach here. But that wasn't shot down, that was just engine failure.
Oh, was it?
So,
they had great herring fleets used to come in then.
Yes, and the herring fleets used to come in every night.
Loads and loads of ships.
In. Oh, we had a lovely time.
We did. We really did.
We had an absolutely super time, you know.
So what did you feel when you actually released?
We cried.
We were absolutely...
We couldn't go back home, you see, because it was on the...
And, you know, our father was always sending in applications to be released.
Oh, we hated it. Papa too stopped
me. We said, why? We said, just leave us. We're all right. But he said, and he was right, you see, he said, if we stay here, we'll be repatriated. Cause we're
and
Germans.
He'd lived in England nearly all his
life. And 1944, they repatriated a load of people.
Yes, that's when the past came.
And
the
you
sisters
see, the
went.
Sisters went. They went back to their convent, mother house, whatever it was called. And they were bombed.
And two of them were killed. They knew all
and
these
this
lovely
other
sisters.
One who was in the house with us in Blair Athol. She always kept up and wrote. This young girl, her parents had a butcher's shop, and she used to sleep under the counter when the Russians came, because the Russians were just out. Yes, when she was repatriated, and she was there when the Russians came, and she used to hide under the counter because the Russians just used to go around looking for women. You see, we missed all that.
Oh, well, you see, that happened in Berlin to our cousin, didn't it?
Yes, you see, these things happened, and this is why our father wanted to be repatriated, because he knew, not repatriated,
he knew England was
because
safe.
He'd been repatriated after the First World War when he was interned. They'd sent him back to Germany. And he said no, and then in 1944 they did. But you see, Eisel has never got repatriated. They were like us, residents.
Werner has nice memories.
But he was worried, probably, you know.
He had a family, did Papa
they
then.
They probably
he didn't
wouldn't
the
have
World
sent
War.
Us back, because, I mean, we had a house, we'd lived in England years and years. And but he wanted to play safe, and so he was always applying, and it was being turned down.
Oh, he was quite a wise man. To us, it was just Papa, but he was probably quite wise.
Anyway, then we did get released. Do you know, it's funny, I always remember the date we were interned, and until I started writing my book, I never knew what date we were released. I never wanted to know, it was of no interest. And it was June the 23rd, I think, I'm still not sure, 1943. And then we couldn't go back home, it was protected. We went to Leeds, and this is ludicrous. Then our father said, well, we'll have to find somewhere to live. We stayed in a boarding house. Went around looking for houses.
Just the back of Leeds University.
Yes, we found a lovely house in Headingley. You could hear them playing cricket and shouting. And it was a big house, and there's attics and cellars and nice
gardens.
And
red roses again. I've got to buy some red roses.
Roses around the porch. And do you know how much it cost him? £650. Oh, you just can't believe it.
That was a lot of money, though, wasn't it?
It was quite cheap because people weren't buying houses, because 2 years later we sold it for £1,100. So I made a little profit on
the that. The editor of the Yorkshire Post lived next door, didn't
yes.
he, Stott?
So,
and
know.
Brother, you see, used to go through this barbed wire here every day to do the digs. You know, the Dr. Bowser. Right.
So he was actually in the married camp,
yeah,
was he?
Yeah, he was here with us. Well, he was with Father first in
and
the men's
he
camp.
He came into the married camp.
And he just remembers Bala Beg camp site. And Bala Norris. Well, I'd never heard of Bala Norris. That's where they dug. And who was it? Was it Andrew Johnson? I've not met him. I've only been on the phone with him. He said, well, there was a dig under where the airport is.
Yes, it's probably covered up. But this Dr. Bowser, he was with us in the Bradder Private. And we remember, we always played chess with the old Salvation Army.
Well, they were always playing chess, yeah.
And he always took snuff. And then
Dr. Bowser?
Yes, Dr.
Bowser. Funny little
and
man.
Then at home, I've still got, we bought this book, Island of Barbed Wire. And as a bookmark in it, we've got a Christmas card that in 1952, I think it was, our mother still kept up with Mrs. Bowser. And we've got, I've put it where the bit about the dig is, from Marie-Anne Gerhard Bowser. So we've still got one of his.
And there's Werner, whose father was quite a very crafty, I mean, arty crafty.
Yes.
He had the little, there was outside the Bradder Private, I think it's been there a long time, unless they've built.
Golf,
was
it?
A mini golf, obviously, before the war. And there was a tiny kiosk where you would have handed in your sixpence,
yes,
and got
your clubs.
Your clubs. And he had that as his little workshop. And Werner, just a bit younger than me, he's going to be 60 next. He said, no, Dad kept all the spades and things there for the allotments.
Oh, yes.
As well as doing all the wood carvings. And he carved lovely things. And our pastor in Germany, who's about 85 now, on his writing desk, his very elegant writing desk in Germany, he has this beautiful letter opener, the only one he has and the only one he used, and it was made out of like bog oak that they dug up. And he said they used to just throw it all away, what they didn't want. I mean, man, there was probably so much that nobody bothered with. The Manx never bothered with their digs. And it's beautiful. It's carved Manx legs and IOM. And Pastor Deal only uses that. He shows us it real proudly that Werner's dad made for him for a Christmas present. And I bet nobody else has this from
so.
The digs. He said they were just not bothered about the whatever they found.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's dark polished wood. Mm. Well, people made everything. We did shopping nets, we kids, to be sold somewhere. You know, you had a bit of wood and you did this macrame knot. And he made his clogs and sandals out of wood,
yes,
did Brigitte's dad.
Yeah, man, yes. He made clogs and sandals and people.
And there were all these yellow shells that we used to pick up down there. They put them on, we've got some at home, on elastic.
Bracelets, necklaces.
The women used to be knocking holes through and half of them would break and then they'd thread them and all our beads.
They'd boil them, wouldn't they, first?
And Mama has one of the little
limpet
shells. I forget what they're called. Pointed ones, they were coloured with nail polish. Our mother had one. We just painted stones. I've got a couple of stones at home with the Manx legs on and a Manx cat. Any flat stone we found. We're always painting and drawing.
Well, we made our own Christmas cards and Christmas letters.
Autograph books we always used to do. May memory like the sundial mark not but sunny hours. And that's what Rosie's calling her book. Rosie's written a book. It's not published or anything.
Maybe one day.
What have you called it? The sunny hours.
Because it's just happy memories.
That's a nice place to stop. The Bradder Private that you mentioned several times.
Bradder,
that's the big one. It's now offices.
It was a big hotel. It belonged to the Challoners. And
that's the top of the bay in Port Erin.
Yeah.
It's just behind the Bradder Glen.
And that's where the mini golf was, just round there. Because when we went back with the pastor, we were looking around. This young man came out and said, can I help you? We were explaining that we'd lived there. Lovely ballroom. And they used to do those piano duets, Carbar and Mrs. Oh, we had lovely concerts and dances. We used to blush when any man used to ask us. It was always turning round, you know, Viennese waltzes. To me, dancing was Viennese waltzes. You know, I was even dizzy.
And we had lovely Christmas, a lovely Christmas still there. A huge tree.
And we had gorgeous concerts, though, with the piano duets. Oh, well, we used to play that piano ourselves and we learned.
Well, we used to play duets on it ourselves.
Fairy Wedding was, yes, we used to play our duets, didn't we?
Yes.
And Little Zipple would play lovely
yes,
tunes.
Yes, Helga was a good
her waltz melodies. No, all in all, we've only got, and our parents were never bitter about anything. So we've always kept all the stories going, all the people, all the funny stories, all the nicknames, all the anecdotes. Oh, they're doing something there, look.
Yes, it's raining. This is where the sea came over the bridge.
So who were the sisters that you were talking about,
yes.
The Protestant sisters?
Lovely.
Do they have a sort of...
uniforms.
They live in one house, or were they...?
They were all in the Windsor Hotel with the Crajeans. Now, old Mr. and Mrs. Crajean have just died, but Norrie Lear up here, George Lear was part of the Education Board until he died about last year. She knows all about the sisters from the Crajeans. They were great friends of theirs, and we used to meet them every year. And they kept in touch with the sisters. They used to send them Christmas cards.
Some of the sisters.
And the sisters taught us, in fact, little Herbert Levy was at the meeting on Saturday, minibus. They must have been teaching in the women's camp before we even knew about it.
They always were sort of involved with children.
They taught
the
us singing. That's all I remember is singing at probably handicrafts. Because he was only interned until August and he knew all about the sisters.
And the sisters went back in 43 or was that?
44. They
44.
Were
And you see, our pastor Deal, when he went back, he started like a small camp he built up with his own hands because he'd been so impressed with the internment. And he built a sort of a camp outside for shell-shocked and gypsies and
people
who've lost their limbs in the war and orphans. And he built the church with his own hands with wood and driftwood. And I think he'd had sort of a cross thing from a ship's prow. Fascinating.
Mm. That is true.
So how many nurses? How many sisters were there?
Now he's just written his report, which I've just translated last week, and I've just sent it to Yvonne Cressel. But he doesn't write the number of sisters. But there's a whole page on the sisters.
I think there must be
at least three pages on church. So ask Yvonne because she's got it all.
I think there must have been 20.
Oh, there must have been quite a lot.
Oh, there was.
And they wore this pretty uniform navy with miniature white spots at the reverse. Little wimples. They were Protestant.
So
they were really nursing sisters from London.
Right.
Did you have a hospital in the camps?
Well, apparently we are in the house we're staying in on Hutchinson Square. What's the hospital?
For the men, yes, but for us.
I think they just use...
In Port Erin.
Normal
hospitals.
Oh, I was a month in the hospital. That was the Hydro. Now Ocean
Castle.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Kirkhouse was taken to Nova's Hospital, I think, where she died.
Was she?
One woman in our house. She went to the real hospital. She died there. So they must have, you know, for... And apparently it was a maternity house in somewhere in the camp. Some of the kids were born there. But
oh, I don't.
So somebody said.
Everybody used to be... visit me after school when I was in the hospital there.
So what had you done that you were in the hospital?
She suddenly found out that I had hand murmurs or something. I was 15 and I was probably always puffing about outgrowing my strength. Because I wrote in my diary, I can't possibly stay here a month.
And I did all my sketching of the wildflowers on toilet paper. So I must have had my paints in the hospital, violets, primroses, and ramsons, you know, the wild garlic.
When I was in the kindergarten across the way, I used to collect a bucket of milk for the children from the hydro.
Did you?
And I used to come up and see you, didn't I, before I got the milk from the
kitchen. At the end of the month, I wrote him a diary, "We'll hate leaving this dear little room."
Oh.
Then I had to be really bed, and I started knitting. And Sister McQueen, the nurse, she said, "Why don't you knit?" So she, well, Mama probably brought me the wool. I did this complicated Aran pattern in the most hideous shade of fawn. And another lady said, "Why don't you embroider?" So I started embroidering.
Blue cloth.
Yes, we still have it at home. We have our blue china. And I started doing my cross stitch, you see. And then Sister McQueen or someone told me all the crosses had to go the same way. That's why on the cross I've got some crosses going that way and some the other way. I didn't know. And it's the most complicated cardigan I was knitting.
Oh, yes.
And then painting my pictures on toilet paper.
So were the nurses internees as well?
Yes, there was that girl that you said, what was she called? That elegant blonde. She was a nurse there. You said she used to go, you see her running down the stairs singing "When the Lights Go On Again" all over the world.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I remember you saying that. I wish I knew the words.
Oh,
that.
I used to be glued to the window
the
because
come home again,
the camp commandant, Mr. Cuthbert, he was a lovely man. He had the house down the little lane next to the hydro at the back of the prom. And his schoolgirl daughters used to come home and they were so smart in their probably Buckham School uniform.
Yes.
Well, I'd left high school with my smart uniform. I used to envy them. They'd come home with their satchels, you know, their homework probably, which I didn't have. Well, we did have sort of homework, but school was very casual.
And then Commandant Athos moved to Cronkhead.
Did he? Oh, did he?
That's
on
where Jean lives.
Where Jean lives.
That was his house.
And Jean Harrison's mum we used to meet now at the coffee mornings, and she lived next door but two to the one we've just got to know, Mona. It all links up again. We didn't know any Manx people really until we started going.
No, just the Hislops and what was it? The Bashfords. This is Burford.
But we've never sort of let the internment die, have we? Now my friend, I rang her. Her brother is Werner, he's lovely. He's got a small factory of his own in the south. And he says sister and mother are very odd, and when I rang them she said, "Oh, we don't have anything to do with that," and they were interned 4 years. We've put it all behind us, we've turned our backs on us, we want to make out as though it never happened.
So they hadn't got very good experiences perhaps?
Well, they did.
They had the same.
Father was
us.
The woodcarver, Werner was the little boy, Hannah Lowe was my best friend. Nothing wrong.
And you had a load of fun with Hannah
Lowe. Oh, we had some fun. She was a very cynical girl. We had confirmation. Well, we were together in the same class. There was only Rita, Hannelore and me in one class because we had a horrid man, Mr. Crane. Don't know what he taught us, but he sat there in this tiny room at Cowley's Cafe here. He sat behind his desk and we three sat on three chairs. I don't know what he taught us, English literature. And he was so rude to us one day, Rita said, "Right, we're not talking anymore," and we wouldn't talk. So he just got up, slapped his books down and went. We were very decent girls, but if anybody was mean to us, well, Rita was the ringleader.
Yeah,
she was a really little cheeky German Jewess. You know, she could stand on her own feet. She still does.
Yes.
And her husband, bless her, he's 80. And I think, I couldn't have a husband at 80. Because Rita was going to come to this meeting, but it was too short notice.
Oh. So a lot of the people that you knew then back in Germany now?
No, only our pastor.
Oh, we don't really know anybody else.
We don't know anyone who was
there. The Schnitzler stayed in the Birkenhof.
We didn't know anybody from the camp. Only our pastor, because mother used to write to his wife till she died.
Went back, and I don't know what.
Just that Christmas card.
I know very few.
Only our pastor, because mother kept up. She was our biology teacher. She was a trained biologist. She was a lovely person, and she's the one who wrote to Mama. They were always corresponding. Said, "Read George Pellaire's, because all his books about the island. They're lovely, they're crime books, but nice, more like mystery. Lovely books. All about down here, the sound and the calf." Then when she died, I corresponded. died first, she? Did Mama die first?
I think Mama died first.
So then I corresponded with her. I only got about 2 letters. Then she died, so then we kept up with the pastor. And then we've always visited him, and he came to the island after 40 years. Petronella interviewed him. There's a picture of us getting on the train. These are old newspapers now. And then he got an interview all of his own 40 years after.
Did you get any news of the war? You seen the radio and newspapers?
Yes, we had... The Hyslops had a radio, and there was this one woman, Mariana, and she used to go down with another woman.
Oh,
every
yes. 9 o'clock
nine
news.
9 o'clock sharp, every night, listen to the news, and she'd write it down and come and tell us. Well, we could buy newspapers because...
But we had no radios, you see.
We had no radios, and when we were in the Braddon Private, you paid so much a week, tuppence or so, and this... We got all the newspapers, and they were in a special reading room. You could go and read the newspapers whenever you wanted.
But she reported the news once a day, that was allowed.
She would come up. We didn't have newspapers in Blair, and nobody bothered to buy them. But she went down for the news, and she was a very precise woman. And she would read it all out, you know, and you had to listen.
So what was the difference in perception, say, if the Allies won a battle as opposed to the Germans won a battle?
It was probably very sad, because if they were bombing Hamburg and your relatives were there, and they were bombing Hanover, had the most awful bomb. Well, Auntie was there and Grandmother was there. Well, not Grandmother, our Auntie was there. But what could you do?
Nothing.
Hull was equally bombed.
Yes, nothing you could do about
it. And Leeds and wherever. So, as I keep saying, c'est la guerre. It was the war, and anyone grown up who was rational and...
There's nothing which you could do.
And we were both, in any case, we were neither German or English, so we wouldn't have been bitter against anybody.
I just wonder whether there was any friction between those that wanted the Germany to win and those maybe the
Germans. Not in our house. I don't remember anything.
We were not aware.
Nobody really sort of...
Probably nobody wanted anybody to be.
I out of politics. Fairies, hello, fairies.
Hello, sorry this morning.
And then when the Arundora Star went down, I remember that, and nobody knew who was on it, and they were always crowding around the office waiting for news. And
there was a load were
drowned, loads of men. But you heard all that a lot later, what actually happened?
Well, there was a rumour we were going to Canada, you see, so Mother wrote to Father's secretary on the keys for our house. Back, go into the attics and you'll find all the trunks full of winter things, probably reeking of mothballs. And then a week later, I've got this in my diary too. Oh no, we're not going to Canada, we're going to Australia. So Mama wrote back, dear Miss Ellis, go into the attic, you'll find all the summer things. And then that's when the ship went down, I think, and then nobody was...
They didn't send anymore. But I don't really remember anybody being sort of aggressively German, or...
No, well, the refugees went, there were nothing.
No.
They were fierce about speaking English, and they couldn't even speak it. But they wouldn't speak German.
Not speak German, and they very much more as kept to themselves.
Of course, we all spoke German. Little sister couldn't speak English properly till she went to school in Leeds. Because we all spoke German, obviously. Well, we spoke English as well. Because we were always both. You know, we were neither nor, were we really? We were always not in any category.
What about now? Do you both speak German or English?
We speak German all the time when we're daft. With parents, we only spoke German. Being English kids, it was all English, German, German, English.
What would you say would be the word for folk museum in German?
In German, I would think. Is it Volksmuseum? Not really.
No, they have another
Well, it's Volksfest. It's a folk festival.
What did Anna's place? Heimat.
Oh, would it be a Heimat Museum?
It would be a Heimat Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Volksfest is a folk festival, but it's not...
But it's slightly different, isn't it?
But it's Heimat is all... Because our auntie who died, a lot of her...